What follows is the chapel program for Thursday, April the 23rd, 1981. Chapel today is being led by the student council. Mr. Jim Johnson will be presiding.
We'd like to welcome you to our worship service this morning. What we are about this morning is essentially a celebration of spring, because spring has to do with endings and beginnings, the ending of winter and the deadness that that involves, and the beginning of spring and the new flowers and plants and growth that is all around us, and all of the vitality that is a part of spring. And today we're here to celebrate both the ending of an old student council and the beginning of a new council. And there are a lot of emotions involved in that for all of us. With endings, we have a feeling of satisfaction because this past student council has accomplished much for the betterment of this campus. There is a feeling of there just wasn't enough time to do everything that we wanted to do, and that involves some frustration. And there is a feeling of sadness because some of the members are leaving and going to new places. But with the new council, there's a feeling of excitement because we have a whole year in front of us to do new and better things for Southeastern. And there's also a feeling of fear because they have a hard act to follow. And so that is what we're about here today. Let us begin our worship service by singing hymn number 352, I Am Thine, O Lord.
Let us remain standing for our morning prayer. Our Father, we come to you this day to present ourselves for servanthood, for commitment and excellence. We pray, Lord, that you would deal with us who serve your ministers and us as ministers who serve. May we be about the task, Lord, of preparing ourselves for ministry, for we ask this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.
Now to a litany of dedication whereby symbolically the old council will finish their course for the year and the new council will be dedicated to their year ahead. I'd like to ask both the old and new councils, most of whom are sitting in the front rows, to stand as we read this litany. And those who are members of the councils at other places in the sanctuary. Thank you. We come in worship and praise to God, dedicating ourselves to ministry, wherever we find ourselves, wherever we are called.
Having been entrusted with the good news of Jesus Christ, we pledge to share it and deliver it in service to God and man.
In this task, we have the grace of God through the Holy Spirit, who empowers us for every good work. Neglect not the gift that is in thee.
Recognize in our sojourn here the need for our community of Christ to minister and to minister to.
To whom shall we turn? Who has these gifts to fulfill this need? We give thanks to those who have gone before for the service they have rendered in ministry among us. According to the grace of God given to us, we laid a foundation that another is to build upon. Take care how you build upon it. The time of our departure has come. We have fought the good fight. We have finished our appointed course. We have kept the faith. God alone knows the true value and effectiveness of our efforts. To those who will lead in the coming year, we challenge you to be the visible instruments of God's ministry among us. We join with you in a joint pledge to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord our labor is not in vain. Amen.
Friends, we have heard and spoken the solemn words of dedication, but I have come to propose something more. I speak not as one who has succeeded, surely one who has often failed, but nevertheless one who has tried and as in all of us at one time or another been pleased, comforted, and pleasantly surprised at what the Lord has done through this or that earthen vessel. Today I challenge us to something beyond that which is required, to excellence. From Matthew 5, verses 38 to 48, we read, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist him who is evil, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. And whoever shall force you to go 1 mile, go with him 2.
Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you in order that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax gatherers do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than the others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. There is a line in a hymn which says, all we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. From the mountains to the valleys to the seas and all between, all comes from God. Yes, from the largest to the smallest of everything, they are God's. We ourselves also, our life, our parentage, our resources of mind and body, and those gifts which make us the very special person that we are. All we have is God's alone, and we are thankful. There is but one thing which is not already His. So what is it that we might come to lay on the altar before the Lord? What might we dedicate? And of course, that is ourselves, our wills, our service by choice. Now, Paul suggested that we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is our spiritual form of worship. But I fear that our gift of self is all too often a dead or feeble sacrifice, lifeless, without energies, without the joy-filled magic of that something we may give to it, would we but give ourselves to it. I speak of that something special which brings to life our sacrifice of self, and that is, of course, excellence. Now, some words seem to fairly drip with their meaning. And excellence for me is one of those words. Do you know what it means? Perhaps you do, but if you're like me, it's so much easier to see it than to describe it. In a sense, it seems to give every action or word or meditation, thought, something of a silver lining. When I was in elementary school and received a spelling test with an E on it, I thought it was for excellent work. But I was wrong on two counts. One, I had not done well at all. And on the second hand, excellence is something that really cannot be graded. It cannot be grasped just like that. When I see excellence rise in the life of some saint, it seems to arise like a dawn or disappear like dusk. There's never a beginning or end. It's only there. And I know it's there. Maybe like a glow. It moves like a fragrance. At one point, not there, and yet immediately there. Indescribable, yet good. I asked a young lady the other day what excellence meant to her, and she was not sure. Only she said it had nothing to do with her. But that's wrong. For God in each of his new creations is fanning the flames of the small coal of excellence he placed there at the beginning of his new creation within us. Fanning it with the wind of his spirit. Excellence is potent within us all. Of course, it can never be apart from God. Stanford once said, human excellence apart from God is like the fabled flower which, according to the rabbis, Eve plucked as she was passing out of the paradise. Severed from its native root, it is only the touching memory of a lost Eden. Sad, while charming and beautiful, but dead. Excellence, simply defined, I think, is giving your best to God. But what do the scriptures tell us to enlighten us more? You have heard it said, but I say to you, do not resist him who is evil. And if he wants your shirt, give him your coat. And if he wants you to carry his burden a mile, carry it too. And if he needs something to borrow, share or give. Some say, love your neighbor but hate your enemy. But Jesus says, love your enemies. Excellence is doing your best, yes, but it means also going beyond that which is required. Excellence is in the realm beyond compulsion, beyond that which is required. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax gatherers do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than the others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Tax gatherers love those who love them. The pagans greet those who greet them. But you and I must be perfect, and better yet translated, becoming perfect. We must be better than tax gatherers, tax collectors. We must be better than the best pagan. And do not treat that lightly. As Dr. Culpepper alluded to yesterday, it may take some quite a bit of doing, some of us quite a bit of doing, to be better than some of those who do not even acknowledge our Lord and God. Well, I'm not advocating a salvation by works, hardly. But don't cop out on me yet, because I am advocating a perfecting, a becoming, like Christ, by works. You notice that the words of Jesus concern people responding to specific situations. Excellence may also be by opportunity. But when they come your way, don't be surprised. In fact, ready your heart and mind to respond to those situations when they come your way. Ready to respond in love. This past week, a friend of mine was walking across the railroad tracks going to the grocery store. There were two drunks on the railroad tracks just making hay, and one singing about waiting for the train. Well, on his way back, the other drunk informed him that the former was seeking to end his life right there on the tracks. And my friend sat down beside this fellow and tried to employ every bit of pastoral care training that they had ever learned. But time grew short, and lo and behold, the train really was coming around the bend in the tracks. And so what that kind of verbal ministry and empathetic ministry would not affect, brute strength did, and my friend, who is a great big husky fella, grab that guy by the britches and pull him off the tracks. The police came later and took the drunk away, and I hoped to proper hell. But there is no doubt in my mind that my friend probably saved a life. The call for excellence may come in a moment. Are you ready to act? Now, you don't even know my friend's name, but doesn't that also make the act all the more excellent? So excellence may be anonymous. I will never forget, I think it was last year, Dr. Blackmore speaking from this pulpit and telling us to do something good that nobody else knows about, just you and God. Do something simply, purely, for the love of God. And that's excellence. Excellence may accompany great deeds, but more often it accompanies small. Carrying the equipment of a Roman soldier was no great task, nor simply greeting passers-by, or lending or sharing, or simply being humble. In Colossians, Paul writes, "Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for man." How we love that verse. We glory in it. Our chests puff out, don't they, preachers? Yet did you know that it comes immediately after Paul addresses the slaves? And that only after he addresses husbands, wives, and children, the family in the midst of pain. Be excellent in the small things. I was shocked when reminded of the excellence of the craftsman who made the basket that Paul was lowered outside the city wall in. Remember when his life was threatened? A basket made so well that it could lower a man securely. Look what a difference it made. For his safety guaranteed his ability to complete his mission, to write letters from which we have even borrowed today. Be excellent in the small things. Handshakes, hugs, maybe even replacing a roll of toilet paper in the bathroom. You don't know how many folks you'll keep from getting really out of fellowship. Another thing. So often excellence is at the price of long suffering, of endurance. One more day, I will love that person that doesn't give a flip about me. One more time, I will not lose my cool in all this chaos. One more test or paper to go, I will not quit. One more minute, I will minister to this person who needs a listening ear. Once more, I will journey out into the night to someone needing a friend. And another minute, upon another, and time upon time, and testing situation after testing situation, one after another. Consistent love. Excellence is endurance. Excellence is of God. Your best, beyond compulsion, in whatever situation, ready at the opportunity, yet enduring. To be sure, excellence is a many-faceted thing, to be sure, but its crown is commitment to do more than that which is required. Certainly, we are not machines, but merely human beings who must retreat, who must rest at times. But by God's almighty power, return to do our best our part with excellence. Excellence is the difference between a tithe and an offering, a report, and a history or a saga, a dream, and a purpose. Mere responsibility and true, honest to God ownership. What you do makes a difference. How you do it may change all our lives. Make your dedication, your living sacrifice, one marked with excellence for the love of God.
You rise with me, please. Now for a word of prayer. Father, as we come to the closing of this service, passing of the old to the new, we have three requests to make. First, that you be with the graduating seniors. Help them in their search for your place for them to serve. Bless their ministry. Continue to let them grow as they've grown here. Continue to let them minister as they've ministered here. For those who remain, Father, we ask that you give us eyes and hearts to be open to the needs around us, the strength to move and meet those needs. And Father, for everyone here during these last 3 weeks, as we prepare for the end of another school year, be with each of us as we prepare our papers, study for our exams. Be with our professors as they teach and prepare for our final exams. We ask these things in Christ's name, in his sake. Amen.